ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 28, text 33. Translation. After this, the great saintly king Marayadraja divided his entire kingdom among his sons. Then, in order to worship Lord Krishna with full attention, he went to a solitary place known as Kulachala. Purport. Malayadvaja, the great king, was certainly a Mahabhagavata, topmost devotee. By executing devotional service, he begot many sons and disciples for propagating the bhakti cult, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Actually, the entire world should be divided among such disciples. Everyone should be engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. In other words, when disciples are grown up and are able to preach, the spiritual master should retire and sit down in a solitary place to write and execute Nirjana Bhajana. This means sitting silently in a solitary place and executing devotional service. This Nirjana Bhajana, which is the silent worship of the Supreme Lord, is not possible for a neophyte devotee. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never advised a neophyte devotee to go to a solitary place to engage in devotional service. Indeed, he has written a song in this connection. Dushtamana tumi kishera vaishnav radishtara tare nirjanera ghare tavaharinam kevala kaitava. My dear mind, what kind of devotee are you? Simply for sheep adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but this is all cheating. Thus Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur advocated that every devotee, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, preach the bhakti cult, Krishna consciousness, all over the world. Only when one is mature can he sit in a solitary place and retire from preaching all over the world. Following this example, the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness now render service as preachers in various parts of the world. Now they can allow the spiritual master to retire from active preaching work. In the last stage of the spiritual master's life, the devotee of the spiritual master should take preaching activities into their own hands. In this way, the spiritual master can sit down in a solitary place and render Nirjana Bhajana. Or can I have a watch? And how long usually should the class last? Huh? 9:30, that's too long. Can I just have a watch? So till when? Till 9. Now we have... That's quite long. How does this work? I cannot see anything. Another verse again. Vibhajya tana ye bhyakshmam rajashir malayadvajaha Arida Daishu Krishnam Sajagama Kulachalam. Translation: after this, the great saintly king Malayadvaja divided his entire kingdom among his sons. Then, in order to worship Lord Krishna with full attention, he went to a solitary place known as Kulachala. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshurumilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavari Pashadyadeshatayane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We Bajakshmam in this verse means dividing the earth, and then the different parts of this divided earth he handed over to his sons. So Srila Prabhupada connected this point with the spiritual master who has different or many disciples, and they should also divide the preaching activities so that the cult of devotional service bhakti can be continued to be spread all over the world. This is what the spiritual master expects from his senior disciples. So that at the end of his life he can practice Niyajana Bhajan, exclusive worship and concentration on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he also makes an interesting point connection, and he explains Vibhajakshmam also can be related to dividing the earth, meaning after dividing the different parts of devotional service, after going through the different stages of devotional service, then the spiritual master can approach Kulachalam, which he relates, connects to a place by in that place practicing Niyajan Bhajan, then provides Krishna Prema or pure love of Krishna. So he gives that also very interesting explanation. There are different stages, parts of devotional service. In the nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami, we find that bhakti, devotional service, is being categorized in three different stages, beginning with devotional service and practice, or sadhana, bhakti, then devotional service in ecstasy, that refers to bhava or bhava bhakti, and then devotional service in pure love for Krishna, or bhakti prema. So these are the three categories, divisions of devotional service. And according to these three divisions, there are different symptoms, altogether six, Rupa Goswami explains. The six characteristics or symptoms of bhakti devotional service. Beginning with Kleshagni, Shubhadha, Moksha, Lakuta Krit, Sudulaba, Sudulaba, Sandrananda, Vishishatma, and then Sri Krishna Kashini Chasa. These are the six characteristics of these three categories of bhakti or devotional service. This klesha gni, gni in Sanskrit means to reduce, to destroy, different meanings. And klesha means distress, suffering. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion that even the neophyte devotee who practices devotional service on a level of sadhana, sadhana bhakti, even he can experience, directly experience, how this klesha, suffering, troubles in his life are being reduced. He can directly experience it. And Shubhadha, he can also experience that now by taking up this process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness, my life becomes very auspicious. So these two things, these two first characteristics belong to sadhana bhakti, the beginning stage of devotional service. And then the two next characteristics, moksha, laghuta krit, that a devotee on that platform, more advanced stage, he is not interested. He has no attraction for moksha. That is an impersonal liberation. Even he is not interested even in the Vaishnav types of liberation on an advanced stage. Of course, that should not be imitated. I remember during one morning walk, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada made the point that he wants to stay life after life in this material world in order to preach, spread Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada did not very much approve of that, although it is a very enthusiastic and noble statement. But Srila Prabhupada didn't approve. He said, you want to stay life after life in because you're attached to this material world. That's your motivation. This is why you want to return. So that cannot be imitated. In the beginning, of course, the devotee must have the desire, I want to get out of this material existence, because it is full of suffering. I want to return home back to Godhead. But on a more advanced stage, he simply depends on Krishna. Wherever Krishna wants to place me, put me to render service to him, that is my shelter. This is where I want to go. Not where I want to go, where Krishna wants me to go. There I want to go. It's a more advanced stage. So this moksha lakuta krit and sudulabha, again that fourth quality characteristics still belongs to bhava bhakti, very rarely attained. So that more advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, it is not that simple to reach that platform, to make advancement, that spiritual emotions develop in the devotee. We can talk a little more about this point later. And then Sandrananda Vishishatma, that means the devotee on an even more advanced stage of devotional service, Prema Bhakti, he experiences a bliss, an ecstasy which cannot be expressed in normal words, inexplicable bliss and ecstasy. And then finally, Sri Krishna Kashini, that means pure devotional service on the level of prema, pure love for Krishna, that even attracts Krishna. So we can talk a little more about these different characteristics. Klesha. Klesha means distress, suffering. And it is described there are three types of klesha. The first one, papa. Papa simply means sin, to be engaged in sinful activities. And then papa bijam, that means seed, the seed of sin, which is lingering in the heart. And then avidya or nescience. These are the three types of klesha. And this papa also has three categories. Klesha, now we go to papa. Sin, sinful activities also, different categories are there. It's described as a pataka. Pataka means a person is acting sinful. Then mahapataka. Mahapataka means very, very sinful. And then atipataka, it's too much, too much sinful. So these are different stages of papa, committing sinful activities. Sinful, or very sinful, and too much sinful. And there's a papa bijam within the heart, prompts a person to commit sinful activities, and that much we know. And it is described, however such harmful propensities are expelled, they vanquish from the heart, if the devotee experiences a glimpse of pure devotional service, then that will purify the heart to such an extent that he has no attraction to commit sinful activities. So the first stimulation of pure devotional service enlightens the jiva-atma, with the realization that he is an eternal servant of Krishna. And thus, it evaporates what is described as svarupa brahma. Brahma in Sanskrit means mistake. You commit a mistake. Brahma vipalipsa karana padava. Brahma, to commit a mistake. So that false conception of the self, that I am the enjoyer, I have my separate identity, my separate existence, that is being vanquished, dissipates from the heart. And the devotee clearly accepts his eternal identity. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And because that is the root of papa and therefore suklesha, that's the root. The root cause that I think that I'm the enjoyer. That's the root. So that root, it is being destroyed. Therefore all these three forms of distress, this papa, papa bijam, and the avidya are dispelled simply by properly engaging in the sadhana bhakti, following all the rules very, very nicely, regularly, and one advances to that platform. Then Shupada means the bestower or giver. Dha means to give. Shubha means auspiciousness. And that devotional service on a more advanced, and I mean still be on a sadhana bhakti platform, Shubhada, where everything becomes auspicious. It's a nice explanation. Good fortune and auspiciousness means to ascend to a position of attracting the love and respect of everyone. To have available all varieties of pleasures and comforts that brings joy. To be adorned with all good qualities. It is explained there are four qualities in a devotee who practices properly devotional service. The first quality he develops is humility. humbleness, then compassion, pridelessness, and then finally a very magnanimous respect for all living entities. So these symptoms or characteristics, they develop in the devotee. As a result, the jiva is loved and respected by everyone in the world. All the good qualities automatically manifest in the personality of a devotee. Pure devotional service is competent to bestow upon the devotee all pleasures and comforts. It is explained, even material comforts. Everything is being provided to the devotee. Of course, the devotee, he has no attraction for anything material. But the fact is that pure devotional service blesses the devotee in so many different ways. And that's one explanation of Shubhada, the bestower of good fortune. Then we move to Bhava Bhakti, more advanced platform. And the two additional, the two previous ones, of course, they're contained. Hare Krishna. The two previous one of Sadhana Bhakti, they're also contained, of course, in Bhava Bhakti. But now we have two additional qualities, beginning with a Moksha Lakuta Krit, or a feeling of a disregard for liberation. There's one description, even a touch of the ecstasy of bhava, spontaneous loving attachment for the Supreme Lord, makes the jiva disinterested in dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, and liberation. No more interest. Sudurlabha, that's the second additional characteristics of bhava bhakti. Sudurlabha means devotional service in ecstasy. It is rarely attained. And the reason for that is, one may perform so many different various sadhana performances, following rules, regulations, austerity, tapasya, everything, for many, many, many years, and to one's best ability. But one will never attain a devotional service in bhava unless one performs devotional service which is free from a discrepancy. This is why sadhana is so important. Now, on the sadhana platform, the devotee learns to execute devotional service without any discrepancy. No faults, no mistakes, no misunderstandings, no offenses. That's the importance of sadhana bhakti. Then he can proceed to the next higher level. The Supreme Lord satisfies most practitioners of a spiritual discipline by offering them either bhukti or mukti. The bhukti is some kind of material pleasure, mukti, liberation. But it is described that these are, are distractions from the path of pure devotional service. But this is what the Lord generally provides. So that's the sort of test for the devotee who wants to make progress on the path of pure devotional service. So these two allurements, bhakti and mukti, makes devotional service on the bhava platform very difficult to attain, very difficult to reach. Because there cannot be any desire for bhakti or mukti any longer. So therefore it is described as sudurlabha, difficult to attain. Then we move to devotional service bhakti on the platform of prema. And the first additional characteristic or quality is described as Sandarananda Visheshatma, the source of inexplicable ecstasy. Neither the sensual material pleasure nor the ananda of impersonal Brahman realization or merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. Now you can imagine if any material pleasure and Brahmananda, if you multiply this by trillions of times, it cannot even come close to an atomic fraction of the ecstasy a devotee feels on that platform of Prema Bhakti. Rupa Goswami gives one verse, Brahmananda bhavet esho chit paradagunikitaha naiti bhakti sukham bodhe paramanu tulamapi. In this verse it is described, if this Brahmananda, bliss of impersonal merging into the effulgence of the Lord, if this is being multiplied by 100 trillion times, 100 trillion times, it will still not equal an atomic fraction of the bliss the devotee experiences on the Prema Bhakti platform. There's also a nice explanation. Paradana Gunikritaha means the bliss of Brahman, the bliss of Brahman accumulated by Samadhi lasting for 50 years of Lord Brahma's lifespan. So that would mean this: you are in Samadhi, you merge into that Brahmananda, bliss of impersonal Brahman, for 155.5 trillion and 20 billion years. And still this does not even come close to an atomic fraction of the bliss the devotee experiences on Prema Bhakti. So therefore it is mentioned trillions of times. It is not exaggerated. It is quite accurate. 155.5 trillion. So it says in it, trillions of years. No exaggeration. Very accurate, precise. Then Sri Krishna Kashini, it attracts devotional service on the platform of Prema, pure love for Krishna, attracts Krishna. The devotee whose heart is infused with devotional service on the Prema platform attracts the attention of Krishna. And it is even described the Shri, in front of Krishna Kashini. That Shri refers to all the associates of the Lord. Not only Krishna himself feels attracted to such devotional service on that platform of Prema, but all the loving associates of the Lord, they also feel attracted to that devotee, to the love the devotee developed, pure love, Prema, in his heart. Then Rupa Goswami gives one nice verse, na sadati mam yogo na sankyam dhama udava na svadhyaya stapastyago yata bhaktiya mamojita. Now this verse explains that unalloyed devotional service in the form of Prema Bhakti rendered to me by my devotee brings me under control, Krishna explains. Brings me fully under control. Then this mam yoga, this mystic yoga process, sankhya, dharma, pious activities, svadhyayas means the Vedic studies, svadhyayas, and then this tapas, tyago, austerity, renunciation, that cannot really, this na sadhyati means it cannot bring me under control at all. But this pure love of the devotee, this prema, love for Krishna, that brings Krishna under control. So Rupa Goswami quotes this specific verse in order to substantiate this point of Krishna Kashini. Urjita in this verse, urjita in Sanskrit means very, very strong. It is not covered by jnana or karma. Same as tibirina, tibirina bhakti yogina. Tibirina urjita means pure, not covered. Like the sunshine. The sunshine is not covered by any clouds, especially here in Vrindavan. Very strong, you can feel. So like this. Urjita. Then Rupa Goswami, he did not feel fully satisfied by quoting this verse, because it only refers to Krishna. Therefore he is adding a second verse from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. My dear Maharaj Yudhishthira, all of you Pandavas are extremely fortunate, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead lives in your palace. And because he lives in your palace, so many great sages and sadhus, devotees, they all visit you. That's the meaning of Munayaha in that verse. Munayaha means all the great sages. Abhyanti almost always visit you, Pandavas, because Krishna is residing in your palace. So Rupa Goswami quotes this particular verse in order to substantiate the point that Sri, even all the associates of the Lord, of Krishna, they also feel attracted to a devotee who executes devotional service on that elevated platform of prema, or pure love for Krishna. So that is the topmost platform. All these characteristics are contained in prema bhakti. And that's the topmost platform. Sadhya bhakti. Sometimes we also, or quite often, we find the term hridaya. Hridaya means heart, explained in the process of executing devotional service. That also has to be understood properly. What do we mean by heart? It obviously does not mean, you know, this physical heart pulsating, boom, boom, boom. It doesn't mean that heart. But then, what does it mean, heart? I noticed during our Kirtan Mela, often there's an announcement, you know, chant with your heart, please. Louder, chant with your heart. What does it mean? How can I chant with my heart? So the explanation is that this hridaya, heart, means the see, normally if you describe the soul, you use the term atma, and heart refers to the spiritual emotions of the soul. Bhava platform, prema platform, that means heart. This heart refers to spiritual emotions. So it is not that simple to just from one second to the next jump to the bhava or prema platform and chant with your heart. Not that simple. It is rather hard work, which will occupy our entire life, to kick out all these disturbing, impure elements in practicing devotional service. It is hard work. But Krishna is very kind. When the devotee is sincere in his endeavor, when he receives proper instructions, intelligence from the spiritual master, instructions of the spiritual master, then he will be blessed to make proper progress on the path of devotional service. This is why Srila Prabhupada, that Dushtamana to me, Keshara Vaishnav, Pratishtara Thare Neja Nera Ghare, Tava Harinam, Kevala Kaitava. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse quite often in his various purports, in his classes, in his writings. He's quoting very much this verse. Because this verse, it is like a, how did Jaipataka Maharaj, he wrote that book on these verses by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he uses the term, this verse is like a nuclear blast. He uses that term, like a nuclear blast in the life of a devotee who sincerely wants to practice Krishna consciousness. It just blows away all these various types of anattas, disturbances, on the platform of pure devotional service. So this verse is so important. But what kind of devotee are you? This verse addresses the mind of the devotee. What kind of Vaishnava, Kee Vaishnava, what kind of Vaishnava are you? And Srila Prabhupada warns us, many times Srila Prabhupada connects this particular verse, quotation, with the tendency of being aloof of the association of devotees. Practice alone somewhere. We should exactly do the opposite according to that verse. We must do the opposite. As more devotees are present, as better for me. Especially better for my false ego. Because as more devotees are there, more instructions I will receive. Don't fall asleep. Sit properly. Can you do this service? Can you do that service? So many instructions. Very, very nice for the false ego. But when you are alone, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then one might fall prey to that what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur warns us about, thinking I'm such an elevated Vaishnava. Just see. The others, what do? Sleeping, this, that. I'm here chanting Hare Krishna. I'm so elevated, so advanced. No. Should always chant Hare Krishna in the association of as many devotees as possible. 10,000, 20,000. Devotees should feel more satisfied, more in bliss, more ecstasy. More devotees, more devotees, more. Because when we return finally back home, back to Godhead, Krishna Loka, there are a lot of devotees up there. So many devotees. Millions and millions of gopis. Millions and millions of gopas. So many devotees surrounding Lord Krishna, serving Lord Krishna eternally. We have to get ready for that. So the time is almost over. I would like to stop at this point. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any comments? Maharaj, any short comment? Thank you. Any remaining question, thoughts, revelations, corrections? Then we can... Oh, there's one. Yeah, we have two questions. We don't have a mic, a traveling microphone. Yes, we have one mic. If you could wait for the mic.
Thank you very much for class, Bhakti Vaibhava Swami. My question is in connection with everyday practice.
In connection with?
Everyday practice. Morning sadhana. We are circumambulating Tulsi Devi.
I can acoustically.
We are circumambulating Tulsi Devi.
We are parikrama Tulsi. We are doing Tulsi parikrama every morning.
Yeah, Tulsi parikrama, yes. Every morning.
Then at the end, we are praying. Vrindaya Tulasi Devaya Priya Keshava Sacha. Then somebody is saying Krishna Bhakti Pradi Devi, somebody is saying
Vishnu
Bhakti Pradi Devi. Please, you correct me. I was somehow thinking about this. issue, and I came to the conclusion that these devotees which are saying Krishna Bhakti Pradip Devi, they are in pursuance of Vedic version. As a matter of fact, they are decorating this Shastra which are written Vrindayai Tulasi Devayai Priyai Keshava Sacha Vishnu Bhakti Pradip Devi Satyavatya Namo Namaha. These who are so please smash me, correct me, Hare Krishna.
I'm not in a position of smashing you. No, you can. How can I stop you to chant Krishna? This will be the greatest sin I can commit. Telling anyone stop chant Krishna. So if you want to chant Krishna, go ahead. Nice. So Krishna, Vishnu. We talk about the same person, no? Krishna, Vishnu. Maharaj, you have any comment yet? We need a microphone. Dhanavir Maharaj is very, very experienced in training young devotees and making progress in devotional service.
So my question would be then, how do we relate that question to the incident where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya change the verse from moksha to
yes.
Bhakti.
Yes.
Bhakti pade, moksha pade.
Yes.
And Lord Chaitanya didn't agree.
Yeah.
He explained that it means that also.
Yeah. He didn't, that's a good point. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not agree that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya changed that word. Instead of mukti, he changed bhakti. Because he was an impersonalist before. And he became such a staunch bhakta that he didn't like anything which reminded him of this impersonal liberation. He just hated it. So he just changed it. Bhakti. Why? Mukti. Bhakti. He changed. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not approve that change. Although, of course, he appreciated the enthusiasm and attitude of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but he did not approve of changing Shastra. Now we are getting into a discussion.
Mukti and Bhakti are completely different things. Mukti and Bhakti are completely different things. Vishnu and Krishna are very, very close things. I was thinking about that also, because that is also one argument.
But the point was changing Shastra. This was the point.
I was thinking, what is pursuance of Vedic version? Pursuance of Vedic version. Let's say devotees are using Krishna is coming in the form of dead for non-devotee, like that personify for devotee like Krishna. Yes, that is one of the correction. I still I think that that in this case still I think that it is decoration, it is person, so Vedic version, it is not changing Shastra.
Okay, we just want to avoid that, you know, doing that part of the Tulsi Puja. We have one section of devotees shouting Vishnu and the other section of devotees Krishna. We want to avoid that. There's one more question.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you were mentioning in passage, you were speaking about this comment, this famous chant with your heart. It almost sounded as if unless we get to the highest platform of devotional service where we have genuine, pure love for the Lord, it's almost redundant or irrelevant to even try to chant with affection because... So is that... Did I understand you correctly?
No, I mean, it's not redundant. We have to chant, but we should chant with our, you know, tongue, lips, throat. We should chant. That's the beginning stage. That Jiva Goswami, I think he explains that chanting should be done with the upper lip, lower lip, with the tongue. And we can also add, I'm adding throat also, because sometimes you see devotees moving, moving the lips, but not really chanting with the throat. There's no sound coming out. So also the throat, that's the sadhaka platform, sadhana platform that we practice, devotional chanting in practice. We have to chant that we can hear the sound vibration. We have to use the different organs that we can hear and produce that sound. So that should be, you know, the emphasis in the chant. I cannot hear you. Chant. That should be the emphasis. But, you know, to request a devotee chant with your heart, that is not easy. It's not simple. Of course we can try, yes. Maybe you could take it as chant more sincerely, not just produce some sound. In that sense, chant with your heart. My point was, heart, it is, we might use that term quite rather quickly, but according to the explanation which I quoted, heart refers to the spiritual emotions of the soul, of the jiva. So anyway, if that request is there, should not be taken sheeply. It has a deep meaning. And the different categories of devotees, they might take it in one way or in another way.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, of course that was Madhava Prabhu, leading the kirtan. And at one point he also said, it's like an exercise. He says, we're at the time of death. This is the last Maha Mantra we're chanting in our life. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, whether you get into the technical aspect of it's really from the heart according to standard of Rupa Goswami, etc. But it, at least in my case, it kind of gave me a hint of being more mindful. And not just like, okay, here's a lot of devotees, there's nice music, and here we are in Sri Mayapur Dham in this case, but also that individually we should approach our japa with that intense feeling. So at least he was moving us in the right direction.
Yeah, okay. Of course, we know we have to take to the entire package. To chant properly, that begins, what time you get up in the morning. What do you do throughout the entire day? So again, my point is, it is not that simple to just chant with your heart. It is not easy. We have to take to the entire process. Study Srila Prabhupada's teachings regularly. Only take prasadam. Srila Prabhupada wrote an initiation letter to me. Only eat prasadam, nothing else. We have to do everything. Take to the entire process. And then we might be able to approach that platform of actually chanting with our spiritual heart. So thank you very much for your patience, attention, and for your wonderful comments. Hare Krishna.